I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ramble React. Scotland were fantastic against Spain, and Wales also got a win. It's Wednesday, 29th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Lars Ewason.
Well, hello, everybody. My goodness, what a night for the Bonnie Scots. Jim Campbell.
It was incredible stuff, wasn't it? At no point did they look like losing.
No.
It was absolutely magnificent performance.
Jim, the control England crave in games was played out by Scotland in Hampden Park. That's how you do it. If you go 2-0 up against a very good side, that's how you see it out. Did not look in doubt. Lovely old job. Their first competitive win over Spain for 39 years. It is not just a great result, it is an unbelievably good performance as well.
It absolutely was a magnificent performance. As you say, very, very well controlled. 25% possession. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Don't need any more than that.
All right.
It didn't feel like one of those games, though, did it? It didn't feel like one of those games.
I don't want to pick Marcus up on tactical details, but I think the control England crave, when you've had like 35... I mean, they didn't have a lot of control.
Well,
they were very good. I'm just saying, let's use the correct words for the correct things.
Well, it was, okay, fair enough. Yeah, they didn't look like being pegged back at all. And when you put that stat in there of 25%, yeah, I mean, maybe it was containment, I think.
Yeah,
would perhaps be a better word. Lars, did you see this coming?
I mean, I should have, because I should have by now accepted that bad things will happen to Norway at all times.
Oh, here we go.
When it comes to football. With apologies to our Scottish listeners who will be delighted, I struggle to find joy in this outcome. It's very, very bad news for us, but it was a very impressive performance. And I think they did a very good job control of...
There's that word, there it is! There.
Containing!
There we go.
A surprisingly toothless Spain. You know what I was really impressed with? There was a period, like, towards the second half, the second part of the first half, where there was a lot of aggro. Mm. And as a neutral... without a lot of skin in the game, who kind of wanted Spain to come back and win. I was enjoying all the aggro, and there were a couple of yellow cards, and the Spanish were being very sneaky. They were sort of exaggerating everything and trying to get a rise.
Doesn't sound
And
like
I thought, this could... I mean, we're very close to someone just snapping and two-footing someone to make a point here. And that sort of thing, of course, can turn a game against you. So I thought Scotland... I was impressed by their ability to not... get fully triggered and just keep focus under at times, you know, sneaky and provocative behavior from the Spanish. I thought that was very impressive as well as the overall performance.
Yeah, everything seemed to be just in place for them. The an early goal in each half. The temperament was there. Obviously, the crowd were with them, all that kind of stuff. They've nailed it. I mean, Spain are a better side than Scotland. Let's not be silly here, Jim. But, you know, you have that start. They never look back. They created chances. They could have scored more.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, there's a chance late on where you thought actually they might get a third and really, really put the cherry on top there. But that's what struck me as well. From the moment they went ahead, they never even really looked like conceding. You know, for all the possession Spain had, they didn't really do a huge amount with it. Angus Gunn wasn't tested that much. Mm-hmm. They looked very, very comfortable, just sort of defending and sitting in that mode and just being happy for Spain to sort of ding it about and then inexplicably bring Iago Aspas on.
Love it. Aspas.
Lucas Perez is on the bench somewhere as
Hossaloo,
well.
Hossaloo, yeah.
Yeah, maybe Hossaloo isn't the answer. Maybe that's what we've learned from this.
Yeah, he only scores against the crap
team. I'm going to stick up for Iago Aspas here, who has been amazing domestically, and he does have a little bit of spark to him, which they desperately missed in this game. But I guess it's not a good sign. You know, Hossaloo as well, it's a great story, him coming on and scoring goals against Norway at his age, finally getting into the national team, Iago Aspas getting some love. But still, if you want to be like one of the sort of top talent-producing nations in the world, like these are kind of good stories, but maybe not a sign of good health in the Spanish football sphere.
I do agree with that point. Yeah, it's quite surprising seeing them. I mean, I did think surely they must have... some other options up there, but it appears not. Also, as well, Pedro Porro, playing at the back from Spain. He's had his critics. Obviously, he slipped in the build-up to the first goal, which Scotland said thank you very much and McTominay put away. And when I say he's had his critics, I'm going to hone in on one of them right now. Tim Sherwood, who described Porro as so bad it's unbelievable after Leicester beat Spurs 4-1. Although Porro hit back and said last week, I don't know him, but he won't be the first who then had to shut his mouth. I think Tim Sherwood's gob will be wide open right now.
I think that would be true whatever had happened at any point. Ever.
It that just mean that the world hasn't ended? You know, the planet is still spinning at the right. Gravity is still functioning. The oxygen is still breathable.
Yes.
Tim Sherwood is still
yapping,
saying things. And I think Tottenham fans will be quite relaxed about this because he also said back in the day that Jan Vertonghen couldn't defend. So, I mean, I think Tim Sherwood being very negative about an expensive Tottenham signing, that's a pretty good sign, really. That's what you want to hear.
Yeah, but I mean, when you look at this Spanish side, Lars, there's a handful of names, of course, that we would certainly know. Kepa in goal, Rodri in there. You mentioned Hossaloo, Ceballos as well, Oyarzabal. How do you rate them, really? Because, I mean, again, they're poor in this game, but we could, you know, some of the bigger nations, they can have the odd off night in qualification. You know, it wouldn't be the first time that happens, and you'd still very much fancy them to qualify. But where do you put them?
Well, slightly further behind the very best teams out there. I was surprised to see them make quite as many changes as they do. Take Dani Olmo out, take Gavi out.
Well, they made eight changes. from that that win against Norway.
Yeah, because they weren't actually that convincing against Norway either. Like, it was 3-0 in the end, but they scored early, and at 1-0, it was a pretty even game, and Norway had some reasonable chances, should have had a penalty, so that game could have easily tilted in a different direction. Mm-hmm. So they weren't convincing, and then they make a lot of changes away to Scotland, which is like, Scotland are not terrible. Like, they're a pretty decent outfit, and I think there's one of the truisms in football, like playing Scotland at that stadium when the crowd gets going. Like, it's not easy. Mm. And you know, I thought that was maybe, I mean, they've got a new manager in charge. Maybe he wanted to see different people. Maybe he's probably pretty confident getting out of this group no matter what happens. And he wanted to test some guys. Could be all kinds of reasons for it. But I kind of felt they got what was coming to them here in that sense. And yeah, tremendous stuff from Scotland. Scott McTominay. Finding his inner sort of goal-scoring type of thing. I quite like him as a sort of box-to-box guy. I think he moves forward with a lot of momentum and power.
Yeah, I think he's one of those players who steps up when he plays for his country because he knows more is going to be demanded of him. John McGinn's another, although McGinn, you know, he still plays well for Villa and so on.
Well, I think this is it, Marcus. I think we perhaps, you know, or people rather, maybe underestimate the talent in the Scotland squad because Scotland have underachieved so often. And not only have they underachieved, I mean, how often do you sort of expect that, you know, they look like they're going to get a good result and then it goes away from them? All over social media, and everybody I know who has any sort of interest in Scotland was saying, oh God, how are we going to mess this up? Oh, this is terrifying. And then they get a brilliant, solid win. I think, you know, with Andy Robertson, with Kieran Tierney, with Scott McTominay, a few others in there, they've got some really, really good players that play at a high level. So they're making the best of that. And they're here. They're back. Scotland's back.
When you say they're back, Jim, where had they been?
They're back from when they beat France that time, about 16 years ago.
They did qualify for the last European Championships, lest we forget.
All right, they're back from then.
Yeah, right, okay, right, fine. That's
trying to stitch me up.
I mean,
you grew up in Scotland, Marcus, didn't you? Are Scotland's youth going to be buzzing on their bacon rounds tomorrow? This is going to be... It's going to be huge...
They were also good in the Nations League.
They were very good in the Nations
League. Let's give Scotland
some credit. I think Jim is, but he's also having a dig at the fact that I, once when I was a youngster, had a bacon round and I used to wear a little scientist lab coat and have bacon in my pocket and change.
I respect any country that employs people in scientist lab coats to deliver bacon to people. I think
out of a bucket,
it's a scandal. It's a scandal that isn't a thing in more places.
I couldn't agree more.
Around the world. If that was a thing where I live and it was reasonably priced, I would get in on that.
Well, £1.48 for unsmoked, £1.52 for smoked.
Tremendous.
Different time.
Not now. There's not a price. This is in the 90s.
Really good value now. You'd probably buy that bacon and flip it, really. And you'd make more money than you do certain audio.
But yes, if we can be a tiny bit serious about Scotland, what I think is Steve Clarke's done well is clearly the two standout players for Scotland are Tierney and Robertson, despite McTominay's work. You know, obviously McGinn plays his part as well. But you look at where in fact, I'll bring in McGinn as well. You look at the way he deploys them. Tierney, the left side of a back three, Robertson as a sort of a wing back as well. He's found a way to fit them both in because he's done this for a while. This is nothing new, of course. But that's what Clark's done since he's arrived. But also playing McGinn in a more advanced role than he might do for Aston Villa. McGinn's got, 16 international goals now. Clark was saying that he fancies McGinn to get 20-plus goals, which only a handful of Scottish men have done, of course, playing for the national side. So he's done a good job. And with Clark signing a new contract until 2026, the Scottish Football Association have backed him. You know, he's been the boss since 2019. He obviously got them qualified. How impressed have you been with Steve Clarke, Lars? Often looking a little bit dour and whatnot, but I tell you what, he'll have a big old smile on those chops of his last night.
He got them to a tournament. You know, I'm a Norwegian man. I can't really scoff at any team that's managed to get to a tournament. That's just not something we do or have done for about a quarter century now.
Mm. And the year 2000, really... Lars.
Yeah, almost a quarter century.
Yeah.
And they did really well in the Nations League, so I think he's done what's asked of him and then some. So it makes sense to back him, no?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, they've had a great start. There's no two ways about that. And again, some of the football they played were great. I mean, McTominay, 4 goals in 2 games. That is a lovely old job. And if there was any, you know, the first goal took a deflection. And you think, well, it might have been a bit fortuitous, but there was no doubt about the second one, Jim.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely walloped it. Although, I mean, it came from a not brilliant clearance from Eric Garcia, but, you know, you've got to take those chances when they fall, haven't you? And 6 points from two games, especially with the, you know, with the playoff in their back pocket from the Nations League.
Yeah.
It's they couldn't have asked for more. It's absolutely fantastic.
Indeed. And I think sometimes one can forget about the role Lyndon Dykes and Ryan Christie, those two play for this side, because obviously, as fans of the Premier League who we watch, we're going to focus on Tierney, Robertson, McTominay and McGinn, who are big players for Scotland, let's not forget. But the way Dykes gets involved for Scotland, he may not score a load of goals, but he is that forward who is, he's a handful. No two ways about that. And Christie as well provides good width and so on down the flank. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they can do. You know, of course, in the same group, Lars, I mean, Norway.
I want to talk about it.
No, okay. Well, Lars, I mean, I said to you in WhatsApp, it's not a bad point, and you...
It's a terrible point.
You did that awful thing when someone screenshots your WhatsApp message and puts it on Twitter without my permission. But fortunately, there are no skeletons in my closet other than that one. So I was trying to just make you feel a bit better.
I should make it clear to the listeners, I was praising your ability to, like, troll people in a good-natured manner, which I think is the only thing I can describe that.
Yeah. Do you think this is good-natured, Lars? Norway are ranked 16th in the UEFA coefficient, Georgia in 46th, FIFA, Norway 43rd, Georgia coming in at 78th. Is that good-natured?
Not a good point.
No.
It's a dreadful point. I mean, the way this group, and this relates to Scotland, is the kind of the finishing end of the Scotland chat as well, is that Spain being bad would kind of break this group wide open, but I'm not convinced that... I wonder if this game was a bit of an aberration from them. You know, new coach, made a lot of changes. A couple of players didn't turn up. Scotland were right on it.
Yeah.
I still would expect Spain to go on and win the group because of just the overall quality that they have, right?
Yeah.
So then you're looking at Scotland and Norway most likely battling it out for second, with the games against Georgia being the banana skins, possibly Cyprus away, but that should be manageable, right? So the game against Georgia is a big banana skin for both Norway and Scotland when they played them. And we looked at that banana skin and we had a right all run up and we jumped and we planted both feet straight on the banana skin and fell right on our faces. That is how I feel about that point, Marcus Speller.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I think you say it harsh because you didn't lose the game. If you'd have put both feet on the banana skin, you'd have lost the game. Whereas clearly Martin Odegaard, or Ødegaard, put his foot on the banana skin when he had that chance and blazed over the bar.
We played a reasonably good game. We were pretty good in the first half. We had some big chances that were missed, lost a bit of control, and the beginning of the second half, Georgia came back into it, got an equalizer they kind of deserved. Then we had a massive chance. We had a couple of massive chances. One, Martin Ødegaard blazing it over from an open goal. But also earlier, we had another miss at an almost open goal. We created enough chances to win the game. We just didn't.
True. But it was a lovely goal Norway scored. But look, Spain away, you wouldn't have expected any points from that for Norway.
No.
That's the toughest game in the group. You described Georgia, quite rightly, I think, as a banana skin. You had a little slippy slip on it, okay? That's where you are. So yes. I don't think it is bad. The next game, Norway hosts Scotland. That's the big one.
That's a huge game.
Yeah, because we're 5 points down to Scotland already? At two games in and we're five points down.
Yeah, but Scotland have played Cyprus, you know,
but they've played Spain and beat them.
Yes, but
not going to do.
It's an obvious thing to say as well, though, but you've missed Erling Haaland in these games, and that's absolutely huge.
Yeah, that's the long and short of it. I think with the game against Georgia, we didn't play very badly. We created enough. If we had the combine harvester of doom, the insatiable goal muncher up in front of goal, we would have won that game. I'm fairly certain.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Tarkowski stayed forward to head it back, headed out by White, headed back by Tarkowski, like head tennis
got
at the
head
minute.
Tennis here, Daniel.
Elsewhere from last night, Wales beat Latvia 1-0 to go top of Group D. Kiefer Moore scored a header, obviously. The Welsh Olivier Giroud back among the goals.
I like that.
And he did it in front of Gareth Bale. But Gareth Bale wasn't behind him on the pitch. He was up in the stands, of course. Gareth Bale got a big old send-off before kickoff, gave a rousing speech, and then put his feet up. So make what you will. But it was a good send-off for Bale, who has been possibly, probably, definitely the greatest Wales player of all time.
Oh, without doubt. I think it's probably worth pointing out as well that he figuratively put his feet up. He wasn't, like, sat on the bench.
He wasn't at Real Madrid on the subs bench. He wasn't that relaxed, was it?
No, he went up to the stands and very much enjoyed the game. He wasn't like making a show of being retired. It's like, yep, I'm not helping anymore. I am not running.
Do you know, Kiefer Moore was... I love that header. That it's one of those things that's like technically...
Yep.
I feel like brilliant headers don't get enough love for how the technical quality required and the difficulty of executing them. Can I just quiz you, lads?
Mm.
What are Kiefer Moore's middle names?
Oh, John Charles?
No Googling.
Is it no Googling?
No Googling.
Oh, I thought for a moment I thought that was the name.
No, I mean, it's Kiefer Roberto Francisco Moore.
Bloody Nora.
Yeah, is there some Italian genetics at play there? He's a very handsome man.
It'd be a very random set of middle names if there wasn't.
Well, yeah, indeed, yeah. I mean, and Wales needed it because... it would have been quite the 2 points dropped if they'd have not beaten the Latvia side that are ranked 133rd in the world behind the Faroe Islands. Below the Faroe Islands. So, look, a win's a win's a win. That's all that matters, really, I suppose. And the group's not going to be, sort of one on those kind of results. But the fact is, Wales are top of the group after two games because of that brilliant point away in Croatia. So they'll be pretty pleased with their work so far, Lars. Would you not think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. They should be. You would expect them to beat Latvia, but as we've covered, sometimes in life, when you're expecting your team to beat a team, they don't beat that team.
No, but Latvia at home is not a banana skin, though, is it?
Might be for Norway right now.
Yeah, they're not in the same group, so don't worry about that. But look, it just get it done. 3 points. Yeah.
Well, that's it,
job.
Isn't it? This accentuates the result against Croatia, because if you do something silly here, that becomes meaningless, and this just compounds that as the excellent result it was.
Indeed. And do you still think Wales have the strongest identity of all the national teams, Jim, after that Scotland win?
Isn't what I said, but yeah, why not?
is Kiefer Roberto Francisco Moore, whose heritage I believe is Italian, because I've been Googling that furiously while you've been talking about Latvia. But is him and Dan James, is that the most sort of outrageous big man, speedy man front combo we've seen for a while?
Yeah, but Dan James, I mean, that's not quite what they were doing, playing him sort of up top. I mean, you've got Harry Wilson in there as well, who I think is a much more sort of cultured player, and both play at Fulham, of course. So I think, but I was actually saying this during the World Cup, I think, when they had Gareth Bale, I actually thought they should have used Bale as an impact sub. That was obviously never going to happen. But a front three of Harry Wilson, Kiefer Moore and Dan James, you know, I think that isn't too bad. Yeah. I know Dan James has his critics, but he's got unbelievable pace, which
is
always...
He's an outlet, for sure.
Yeah, of course, that's always going to trouble defenders.
Yeah, any team that can play an early long ball up to Kiefer Moore with Dan James running in behind in case he wins the ball and knocks it on, like that's going to cause a lot of trouble against a lot of teams.
Dan James can play long balls to himself. It's a great outlet.
And just catch up with them.
It's true. I did see that once at Fulham, actually. He ran down the left wing, played it square... nobody, because I think nobody caught up with him, and then he ran across the field to where the right winger should have been and collected his own pass. It was utterly glorious.
I love that that's a real thing.
Yeah, but he didn't give possession away, you see. Chaps, elsewhere in the group, Croatia beat Turkey 2-0. The game was hosted in Bursa, at Bursa Sports Stadium, I believe, which is shaped like a giant crocodile. I implore anybody to seek this out. It is a beautiful stadium.
Yeah, it's incredible. It almost looks like the Lacoste logo, doesn't it?
A little bit.
It's a bit like a cartoon crocodile, obviously. I mean, it's not a realistic crocodile.
Do you think that's what they were doing, Jim? You're like... That's how you caught like a bit of fancy sponsorship.
Yeah, like, I mean, you might as well put your name on it. We've got the logo here.
Come on, guys. What are
you
saying?
Actually very presumptuous.
Maybe they tried to like get sponsored by the film Lyle Lyle Crocodile, and they were also like, we're not sponsoring a stadium in Turkey. This is a strange way to market this film.
You end up stuck with a stadium that looks like a crocodile. It happens, doesn't it?
But I do suggest that anybody check that out, because it is quite glorious. Let's turn our attention to some happenings that happened on Monday evening. France went to Ireland and they met for the first time in almost 5 years. A 1-0 defeat for the Irish. Good performance from Ireland. It is a defeat ultimately, but much better. I was talking to an Irish mate of mine and I said, well, Ireland look, you know, pretty poor at the moment, don't they? And he said, well, actually, he was expecting much better things from what we've seen. I mean, Ireland started their World Cup qualifying campaign with a loss to Luxembourg at home. Now, I know this is a loss, but it is to France, for crying out loud. And if it wasn't for Magic Mike Maignan making an unbelievable save right at
incredible.
The death, it would have been a draw. So, I mean, Lars, you were nodding when I said Ireland, I was saying a friend of mine said that Ireland are actually better than perhaps what one might think. You agreed with
that? Yeah, I concur. I think the coach, Stephen Kenny, is trying to sort of change the way they play, is trying to do a whole sort of generational shift, bring in some younger players, encourage them to keep the ball more and sort of develop what they do a little bit.
It's been slow.
And that is a difficult thing to do because, you know, if there are a lot of players who are maybe used to playing in a slightly more direct manner. They've had quite a few games under Stephen Kenny where I feel like they've deserved more than they've ultimately gotten. But then also they've had a few sort of performances where they've shown that sort of world resilience that we maybe associate with the Irish national teams. Like they got a draw against Portugal. They managed to get a draw against Belgium. So they have, like, you can make fun of them for losing to Luxembourg, but they have also had some good performances. And I think in terms of what they're doing on the pitch, you can see that they're trying to sort of improve their model of football, if that doesn't sound too... it definitely sounds too pretentious. But I think I think that's what's happening. And, you know, I'd be... The thing about national teams is you have the players you have. so there will be years when you just look at your squad and say, well, you know, there's certain positions where we're not really well stocked. But if you're Irish now, you're probably pretty excited about Chidozie Ogbene, who's put in some really sharp performances for them. You're obviously very excited about Evan Ferguson and what he's doing at Brighton. There are some of these players who are giving you cause for optimism. And I think this kind of performance, again, I'm really... down with the situation with Norway. If Norway lost against France like this, I'd be like, yeah, fair enough. You know, you gave France a really good fight and you lost by a goal and their goalkeeper had to do some crazy things. That's a reasonable night at the office for an international team, I think. You know, you never want to praise heroic failure too much, but you can't. That was a fine performance, I thought.
What a goal that was from Benjamin Pavard as well. He loves a spectacular goal for France, doesn't he?
Scored a goal
in the 2018 World Cup that was really memorable as well. And this one wasn't quite as good as that, but it was ridiculous. That you really feel for Ireland that the ball slips out of your control momentarily and a fullback does that.
It shows you how good the save from Mike Maignan was, is the fact that everyone was talking about the save rather than that beautiful goal that decided the match, of course. From what you were saying about Stephen Kenny, I agree with you, Lars, that you know, trying to change it is going to take a while. I just wonder then, Ireland, they missed out on the Euros last time. They obviously didn't qualify for the World Cup. They're in a tricky group. You've got France in there, of course, who people would think would go on to win the group, especially what they did against the Netherlands. You've got Greece in there, who can be a stubborn opponent. You do have the Netherlands, who are better than the Irish. There's no two ways about that. And then Gibraltar are the whipping boys. So I just wonder, Kenny has been given time, you know, despite some of the poor results and some of the uninspiring performances and lack of goals. They are backing him. They've given him time. I just wonder what the powers that be in Irish football are thinking this time round. You know, obviously, if performances are good when they finish third or they don't quite get there. But, you know, do they have to qualify? Does Kenny start having to show some real results?
I think that would, to look at the current sort of talent crop that Ireland have at their disposal and say that not finishing above France or Netherlands is a sackable offence, I think that would be a completely deranged way of looking at it. I'm sorry, that just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
All right, well, fair enough then. Did you see, speaking
Boom.
Of the...
Yeah. Kill that one, stone dead. No more conversation on the subject.
Okay, so Ireland not qualifying would be a success for them, Lars Sivertsen
says. I mean, it is what it is. Like... but right now, I cannot look at this Irish squad and see, like, how can you not finish above the Dutch, Stephen Kenny? Like, this would be a very strange board meeting at the FAI.
Yeah, well, Mick McCarthy.
To be fair, they
it.
Do have those fairly regularly. So he is toast, isn't he?
Speaking of the Dutch, by the way, did you see one Dutch reporter was very blunt to Wout Weghorst after the Netherlands beat Gibraltar on Monday? And he said, Wout, if you'd have played for 48 hours in this game, would you have scored? And Weghorst replied, good question. I did my best, but time was up. Cheeky bastard.
Yeah, he's taken that very well,
Weghorst.
You know
what? God bless Wout Weghorst for not kicking off then. I mean, I think a lot of footballers would have just walked out or something like that.
Maybe he was put off because in the background, Lionel Messi was just staring at him and calling him stupid.
Bobo.
Exactly. Yeah. Or something like that. Gentlemen, I think we'll call it a day there. We've reacted sufficiently.
I mean, I've reacted a lot. I mean,
you have. You've been very reactive.
You know, you caught me on a bad night. When I said yes to this, I did not know we were going to mess it up against Georgia. And that was arguably the foulest mood I've been in whilst recording a podcast for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
I hope I wasn't too negative, everyone.
No, you're all right, Lars. Don't worry. Look, it's the end. And I think it's particularly disappointing because that's how Norway's international break has ended. Mm. Or dropping 2 points away.
And those things you said about Scotland were just cut out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, said some dark, dark things.
Well, I stand by my earlier statement yesterday that I think it's not a bad point for Norway, but there we are. Time will tell if I am
The point's
correct.
Gotten worse since then. Yeah.
Not for me.
Like, it made no sense then. It makes even less sense now.
I think that, look, the international break is over. The doors are closed. There'll be another one soon. It'll pop up. Norway have a chance. They're playing Scotland. All eyes on that one. Club football is back this weekend. Lars, and I know you love Erling Haaland. He's one of your fellow countrymen. You'll want to see him playing very well for Manchester City.
Yep, excited about that.
Oh dear, Jim, no doubt you're
It wasn't even Kvaratskhelia who scored. I mean, that
he's
you could
still
have...
bloody hell fine.
He's going to keep doing this long after we've gone, Marcus.
Yeah. I'm out.
I just want to turn to a chap who's had a better time of it. Jim, you're an Englishman who supports Arsenal. Six uh-huh. points, top of the group. Arsenal, top of the league. You're sitting on footballing cloud nine, aren't you?
I am, but it's scary up here, mate, because you don't know. I've not felt this stressed by football in years, to be honest, because there's a long way to fall now, isn't there? It's a long way to fall.
It's a long way down. But if you do fall all the way down, Lars will be there to keep you company. Thank you very much for listening to today's Ramble Reacts. A new episode of The Drop-In will be dropping this afternoon at 4 p.m, by the way. So get your ears around that lot. You can find us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble. And remember to subscribe on your podcast app. Thank you very much, Lars Sivertsen.
It's all good, Marcus.
Thank you very much, Jim Campbell.
You're very welcome.
And thank you, everybody. And well done to England, Wales and Scotland and Georgia. See you soon.
Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.